Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive there made some news not that long ago when he found a guitar that was either stolen from him or he lost a long, long time ago. Randy Bachman, who we've had on this show. He was a fun interview. Before he was in Bachman Turner Overdrive, he was in the Guess Who. He's from Canada. And a long time ago, his guitar got stolen. His favorite guitar. And he had evidently been looking for it for years. And someone sent him a message saying they think they saw the guitar. Somebody, some Japanese guy was playing it in Japan. And so Randy Bachman was looking around online, and he found the guy. And sure enough, it was his guitar. He remembered a couple of marks on it. And, you know, he said he wrote some of his biggest songs on this guitar, and it was his favorite guitar. And he got in contact with the person in Japan, and they started talking online, and sure enough, I mean, they came up with a price, and I guess evidently Randy Bachman is going to fly to Japan to go get his missing guitar from a long, long, long time ago. And he's not the only one. I just saw a video that the Doors guitar player, Robbie Krieger, made recently, saying he's looking for a guitar. It's a Gibson that he lost right after the Doors made their second album. He said it's the guitar that he auditioned for the Doors with. It's the guitar he wrote the song Light My Fire with. It's the guitar he played on the first two Doors albums. It's the guitar he played when the Doors played on the Ed Sullivan Show. It's a Gibson guitar that he bought in a pawn shop in Santa Monica, California when he was a kid. And he's looking for that guitar. So, I mean, you're talking this guitar's been gone for around 50 years, upwards of 50 years. And he put the serial number of the guitar online because there was an old picture of the guitar and somebody saw the serial number on it and blew it up and he was able to. So Robbie Krieger is like, if you see this guitar, it's a specific type of Gibson, and I think it's, I don't know, like a dark red color. He said, I'm looking for this guitar, and I would love to get it back. It's pretty cool how, Randy Bachman found his guitar, and hopefully Robbie Krieger will find his guitar. I mean, so much history there. And with Krieger's guitar, I mean, I'm a Doors fan. I mean, there's so much Doors history there. You know, he just wrote a book. He finally wrote a book. He was the last surviving member of the Doors to write a book, and he wanted to give everybody his spin on everything because he said he noticed a couple of things in his former bandmates' books and a few things in the Oliver Stone movie, The Doors, that he wanted to straighten out. He said, I remember it a little bit different. So he just wrote a book and he just released it. It's called Set the Night on Fire because, you know, he wrote Light My Fire. He wrote that song when he was 18 years old.
So what are the chances, all right, these rock stars, they finally get their long gone guitars back, right? But then 10 years down the line, they just auction it off anyway.
Well, who knows what they're going to do with it? They can do whatever they want with it because it's their guitar.
Yeah.
But those guys would probably give it to a family member, a kid or a grandkid or you know, something like that.
I don't know. I'm kind of sentimental, but if I've been missing something for more than 5 to 10 years, I just figure I can live life without it, and it's not that serious. I forget about stuff like that. Even if it's something that I really cherish, if I lose it and 10 years go by, I just forget about it.
Well, evidently, Krieger had forgot about his lost Gibson for a long time. He said it just disappeared one day from the rehearsal room, from the rehearsal space that the Doors used to rehearse in. But that would be pretty cool to see if somebody out there has it. I mean, if they know it, you know, there's been great guitar stories before about guitar legends getting old guitars back. It was Joe Perry from Aerosmith went through a divorce. And when Aerosmith wasn't at their best time financially, and he had to sell his favorite guitar, a guitar that you hear on a lot of those old Aerosmith songs, because he went through a divorce and he needed the cash. Guess who ended up having it? And not only did he have it, he gave it back to Joe Perry as a birthday present for free. Slash.
Hey. All right.
Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Well, that explains the free part, yeah. He doesn't need the money.
Joe Perry couldn't believe it. He said, I got chills up my spine. He said, I couldn't believe when Slash walked up to me one day and he said, here, this is yours. And sure enough, it was Joe Perry's favorite guitar from when he was young, and he did a lot of old Aerosmith on it, but he lost it in the divorce. I mean, he needed cash.
Yeah, we always hear these cool antiquity stories when it comes to guitars, but you never hear about it when it comes to, like, xylophones or accordions.
No, even though there have been some classics on xylophone and accordion, Coleman, not as many classics on those instruments as electric guitar.
Nobody's looking for missing bagpipes, anything like that.
Not here. Maybe in Ireland, but not here. All right. Coming up on the show today, there's a woman who is suing her children's school district because she was volunteering at her children's public school. She was volunteering until they found out she had an OnlyFans site. And they said, you're not allowed to volunteer with us anymore. She said, what? She is now suing the school district. I mean, you can't be on OnlyFans naked and still volunteer at your children's school. What does one have to do with the other? We're gonna talk about that. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlind. So we learned yesterday what we had a feeling about 2 days ago, that the quarterback of the Saints, Jameis Winston, will be out for the season. He tore his ACL ligament in his knee, and he also hurt his MCL ligament in the knee. And they're saying it's going to take anywhere from 9 months to 12 months for him to come back and play football from that. And You know, yesterday on our show, during our Big O segment, which we do a little bit after 7 each morning, I asked you who you wanted to see quarterbacking the Saints on Sunday. Is it time for QB2, Taysom Hill? He's been out with a concussion. But they say that he's doing well in the protocol, and he should be back this week and ready to go. Or would you rather see Trevor Siemian start Sunday and have Taysom Hill be the Swiss Army knife that he normally is? Which would you rather see? Sean Payton didn't say much yesterday. He said, hey, we'll go to practice and we'll figure it out. And, you know, we'll get everybody ready to play. I mean, is Taysom one? Taysom Hill, is he a QB1? I know his biggest weakness at the quarterback position is throwing the ball accurately downfield. That's his biggest weakness. Trevor Siemian got the job done on Sunday, along with the Saints defense, in that big win over the defending champions. And you know, yesterday on the show, I was thinking where Sunday's Saints win against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where it ranked. Because it was a special victory. I mean, you beat the champions with QB3, your third string quarterback. And I can only think of three wins, that you could say were bigger than the win 2 days ago. That was when they won the Super Bowl, and then the game before that, the NFC Championship game, and then the Atlanta Falcons game here in the Superdome, the first game back after Hurricane Katrina, the Steve Gleason blocking the punt game. Those three games were the biggest wins the Saints ever had. And that win on Sunday, right up there behind those, I thought. And we'll see what Sean Payton does on Sunday, but I noticed online a lot of people talking, a lot of Saints fans. There's a bunch of people who say it's Taysom Hill's turn. He's QB2. He's the one who got beaten out by Jameis Winston, so he's next in line. But the way I look at it, if Trevor Siemian can get the job done, why not start him and keep Taysom Hill as the Swiss Army knife? So he can come in, he plays quarterback a few plays, he comes in, he play receiver for a few plays, try to block a punt. I mean, you know, does a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this thing over here, a little bit of that thing down there. Why not keep it like that when they play the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday here at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans?
But there's a reason why Coach made Taysom Hill QB2 instead of Trevor Siemian, right? So you would have to go with Taysom. There's a logic behind it. You know, you can't just jump ship and say, hey, even though we put you as QB2, we're going to rock QB3 because we find that you're more valuable as the Swiss Army knife. If that was the case, they would have made him the Swiss Army knife without even playing around with the QB2 position for Taysom Hill. There's a reason why he is QB2 instead of third string or Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But if Trevor Siemian is more accurate throwing the ball down the field,
then he would be QB2, right?
Well, from everything we know, he is more accurate throwing the ball down the field than Taysom Hill. You know, Taysom Hill's strength is his legs, is him running. And when they bring him in on those certain plays, a lot of times they bring him in to run the ball. So it'll be interesting. But what an immense win on Sunday.
Reggie says, let's keep Trevor in there for now because our defense is playing great and they're picking up the slack.
The defense for the Saints has been really, really good the last couple of years. They've been great. I mean, DeMario Davis is playing linebacker as well as anyone in the NFL right now. Marshawn Lattimore plays cornerback as well as any cornerback in the NFL right now.
I just feel like it's a waste to have Taysom Hill at QB2 position if you're not going to go with a QB2 after QB1 is out, right? That's sort of the reason why you have the backup quarterback, the second-string quarterback, in the event of the first-string quarterback being injured, like this situation. So it just feels weird skipping the three instead
Coleman,
of going with two.
I understand that. And on most NFL teams, that's the thinking. At every position, you've got a depth chart. But with the Saints, the quarterback position is a little bit different because there's hardly any other quarterback in the NFL who does all the different things that Taysom Hill does.
So it sounds like he's being punished for being good at everything. You know what I mean? It sounds like he has to suffer for being such a great football player that he can play any role that the Saints may be lacking on in a game instead of doing what he probably really wants to do, which is be the team leader at this time of need and be the quarterback and lead the team. But instead, he has to play these other little roles. He has to play concession stand. He has to play referee. He has to do all these other things besides being the QB2 like he was assigned.
Well, we'll see how practice goes this week. But, and then that's all Coach Sean Payton said. He'll go out and practice and see how it goes. Another injury in New Orleans sports, which is huge, an extremely large injury, is the injury to the star of the Pelicans, Zion Williamson. He had foot surgery in the offseason, and it was announced yesterday he's going to miss at least another 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, he's already missed the first, week or two of the season, and now he's going to miss at least another 2 to 3 weeks. That's a nightmare. Nobody said anything to any of the fans about Zion Williamson having an operation on his foot in the offseason. Nobody said anything to any of the fans about this generational player, this guy who only comes around once a generation. But his size and what he can do, I mean, he averaged 27 points a game last year. You take that out of the Pelicans lineup, that's why they've only won one of their first, what are they, 1-5, something like that, 1-6 to start the season. And this has been an absolute disaster for the man who's in charge of the New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffin. He's been in charge now for 3 years, and so far his 3 years here have been a complete failure, a complete disaster. I mean, an absolute disaster his 3 years have been. And he came in as someone who was supposed to bring this team to the next level. He had won an NBA championship when he was in charge of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, that's because he had LeBron James at the time. But the Pelicans desperately need Zion Williamson back. I mean, I've watched a couple of their games, and I'm a huge Pelicans fan. Huge. And they're tough to watch without Zion. It looks like they've got some of the pieces of the puzzle of who to put around him and Brandon Ingram. It looks like they've got those guys. But without Zion Williamson, it's been a struggle.
Yeah, for the past three seasons I could remember, there seems to be a curse with the Pelicans and the Saints. We talked yesterday about it seems like for the past three seasons for New Orleans Saints, whether it's Drew Brees or in this case Jameis Winston, the quarterback is out for a duration of the season because of an injury in midseason. They had to find a backup quarterback to take the place of the original. Now with the Pelicans, it seems like ever since Zion got drafted to New Orleans, there's something that prevents him from starting the season off, whether he gained too much weight or whether he had a family emergency.
No, this is his third year as a Pelican, Coleman, and yeah. In each year there's been an injury.
Exactly. So it's something going on with New Orleans sports. I don't know whether it's a curse, but around this time, either Zion can't make the season for some reason or our quarterback for New Orleans Saints is out for some reason. The past 3 years, I've noticed that pattern.
But boy, do I miss watching Zion Williamson play basketball. Boy, oh boy. So another 2 to 3 weeks for him, and then we will see what the Saints do with their QB gig as the week moves on. And I've seen people on both sides of the spectrum. I've seen a lot of people on social media say, hey, it's Taysom Hill's turn. I've seen a bunch of people on social media say, hey, Trevor Siemian got the job done. Start him. Keep Taysom Hill in the role that he's in so he could still continue to help us in that way. So we will see. All right, coming up on the show. Hey, there's something, if you're a television fan, something pretty iconic that is going up for auction. And also, got to tell you about the woman who is suing her children's public school district because they're not letting her volunteer anymore because they found out she's on OnlyFans. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So there's a group of a guy of guys from a couple of different bands, but if you ever wanted to know what Chris Cornell would have sounded like singing for Pearl Jam, you have the answer to that question. They're called Temple of the Dog. It's the group Cornell started to pay tribute to the late great Andrew Wood, who sang and died. And if he never died, there would have never been a Pearl Jam. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. You know, we always look out for you if you listen to our radio show and you listen to our radio station. We always keep our eyes open when it comes to helping you out with your health in your life. And I was just reading where scientists have studied how the height of a woman's high heels can boost their orgasms. If you're a woman or you know a woman who is trying to achieve the best magic O, the best orgasm you can have, the answer could be on your shoe rack, according to scientists. They say, now, look, I will admit, these are Chinese scientists, but they're scientists. They say the size of a woman's heel on her shoe counts a lot. According to scientists in China, wearing shoes that have at least a 2-inch heel is said to stimulate the muscle that also helps a woman climax.
First of all, who comes up with these studies? I have a theory. I'm not a scientist, but I believe that some doctor or some scientist in China right now has a high heel fetish, and he's trying to scientifically prove that wearing high heels is better because he wants to see more women in high heels. Just like a few years ago, there was a study done saying that if women stopped wearing bras, it would actually help their breasts set up a little bit better. And I believe it's because whoever did that study just like to see women without bras, and they're trying to justify it and use their intelligence and cherry-pick information to validate their personal fetish, which I'm all in agreement with, but I have my skepticism.
Coleman, these are scientists at Fudan University in Shanghai. They discovered the connection by chance.
Sir, they did. It was all a complete accident. Has nothing to do with a high heel fetish. Okay.
Well, they conducted a study into the impact different shoe heights had on women's pelvic floor muscles. The pelvic floor, if you're wondering, spans the bottom of the pelvis and supports the pelvic organs, such as the bladder and the bowel, and the uterus in women. It's recommended that you do pelvic floor exercises to strengthen your muscles. Now, the NHS, which is different than the Chinese scientists, the NHS says that while a strong pelvic floor is good for urinary incontinence and can help treat pelvic organ prolapse, it can also help with your sex life. So higher heels equals better orgasm for women.
All right, so how about we just give women those stilts that we see clowns walk on at the circus? Maybe if the higher the heel, the bigger the orgasm, maybe they should walk around in those clown stilts that we see at the circus.
Coleman, they still have to be able to live their lives and live a productive life and go about their business. But, hey, a woman's heel should be at least 2 inches. 3 inches is fine, better. 4 inches is even better than that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If this research is found that wearing heels can help women, do you think it could do the same for men? Like, should men start wearing high heels too? Do we have the same kind of pelvic muscles, and maybe we can see if we can reach a better O by wearing
heels?
No,
it doesn't. The study that I've looked at doesn't say anything about that.
Because I've seen Prince and Rick James wear some platform stiletto shoes, and they seem to be enjoying the hell out of their sex life.
Look at Kiss.
Right.
Jesus.
So maybe we should ask Gene Simmons, how's his O doing these days?
Well, he'll be the first one to tell you. He'll tell you that he's been with 19,877 women or whatever it is.
All right, so.
But when it comes to men, Coleman,
okay,
it's interesting you asked that question. Strengthening and training the pelvic floor muscles can help also reduce the symptoms of erectile dysfunction.
Huh.
And so these scientists in China, they quizzed over 1,200 women on what style of shoes they wore most often. After analyzing their results, the experts found that 2-inch heels were the optimal fit. They explained that this is because when a woman is standing in them, their pelvis tilts enough so that the muscles repeatedly contract, helping to keep them in good shape. And it was found that the biggest impact was seen in women who wore 2-inch heels, for at least 8 hours a day.
You know, I hear studies of guys, when they get older, they suffer with ED. So I haven't gotten to that stage of my life yet. So I'm thinking now maybe I should go invest in some heels. That way I can prevent it, like a preventative measure. So tomorrow, John, if you see me walking to the studio and I look 2 inches taller than usual, don't judge me. You know?
Well, Coleman, they have like a cowboy boots that have a big heel. And finally, the experts found that shoes with very high heels or flat shoes were not able to stimulate the muscle in the same way as the 2-inch heel.
Oh. So that's the Goldilocks zone. It has to be within, it can't be below 2 inches.
Yeah, 2 or 3 inches, I guess.
And it can't be higher than 2 or 3 inches. So that's the Goldilocks zone that women need to wear heels for them to experience that magical O. That mythical, magical O that we believe exists.
Yeah, so here's a public service announcement from the John Osterlin Morning Show and Chinese scientists.
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
If you're a woman and you want to have the best orgasm you could possibly have, wear 2-inch heels.
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
But I read what these Chinese scientists are saying. All right, coming up next, it's the big O coming up next. And this has to do with a woman who is suing the school district where her children go to school because she used to volunteer there. But the school told her they don't want her volunteering anymore when they found out something about her. We will tell you next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlind. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
I always want to get your take on the Big O. Florida mother says school won't let her volunteer because she's on OnlyFans. And she's suing now, suing the school district for $1
million. $1
million. A mother in Florida is suing the Orange County Public School District for $1 million in damages after she says she was banned from volunteering because she has an OnlyFans page. And OnlyFans is where mostly women, there might be some men, it's where mostly women go online and they get naked and guys pay them. People pay them money to see them naked online. She's a 30-year-old mother of two. Her name is Victoria Trice. And she says, I would say that it's nobody's position to judge what anybody does in their private life. She said she started her career creating adult content online 2.5 years ago by creating a page on the website OnlyFans. She uploaded sexually explicit content for anyone who subscribes to her OnlyFans page by paying her $12.99 a month.
That's reasonable. That's fairly reasonable.
What, for OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They can range up to like $29.99 a month. Please.
She says, if I'm not hurting anybody and I'm not affecting anybody's day, then it's somebody's choice to do something that's fully legal. She and her attorney claim her online adult career is the reason the principal of her son's school informed her she'd no longer be able to participate in the school district's volunteer program. So she was volunteering at her son's public school.
Yeah, I'm foggy about that because I don't have kids, so clearly I don't have kids that go to school. But when they say she was volunteering, what did she volunteer to do? Did she volunteer to give out lunch? Did she volunteer to do homework? Was she a volunteer tutor? Did she volunteer at gym class? Like, what does a volunteer actually do?
That doesn't matter what.
No, just out of curiosity, because that might affect what area she's in at the school. Like, is she helping out the volunteers?
She was volunteering, giving her time for free to help out her son's public school.
For whatever reason. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, schools are looking for volunteers to do different stuff a lot.
But then the second question is, how did they discover that she had an OnlyFans?
Well, that's the big question.
Yeah.
You would think someone who's associated with that school probably on OnlyFans and perhaps saw her. I don't know.
Then it's the who snitched after that. So you had the discovery, then you had the snitch.
She says, it doesn't validate. Like, it's not my whole life. That's a part of my life, but it's not my life of being a mom or being a parent. She thinks it's important to volunteer for school activities involving her two sons.
I agree with that.
Sure it is.
Parents should be involved in what their kids are doing at school.
Well, because her school district said they don't want her volunteering anymore. She's not allowed to volunteer anymore because she has an OnlyFans page. Her and her attorney sent a letter to the school district demanding it pays $1 million in damages and she be reinstated as a classroom volunteer.
She was a classroom. All right. I know. All right. I get it now. She was a classroom volunteer.
Well, she wants $1 million and she wants to continue to volunteer.
I would love to see how the school worded it saying that she couldn't volunteer anymore. Like, I remember we talked about this maybe a month ago about a similar situation and you said, I want to see what they actually put in writing to stop this parent from doing whatever this parent has to do. I would like to see the school's actual ruling, the way they word it, sentence by sentence, of why this parent cannot volunteer just because she has OnlyFans. Like, what is the actual reason?
I know her volunteering at her son's school is one thing. Her doing OnlyFans is another thing. She doesn't combine the two. She said, my mother did it for me, and having her there was the best joy growing up, just getting to have a parent see you at school and encourage you to want to be at school. And the Orange County public schools there in Florida were asked to comment on this, but they said they don't comment on potential pending or ongoing litigation.
Okay. Do you think it's also kind of brazen to believe that a school that needs volunteers just has $1 million?
Well, Coleman, they had to pick a number.
I mean, that's
the number her and her lawyer picked. But I don't understand if volunteering at school has nothing to do with her OnlyFans. She's not getting naked at her son's public school. She's volunteering with her clothes on. I don't understand why they wouldn't let her continue to volunteer. I you know, especially now, we've seen a bunch of women leave their jobs and make more money doing OnlyFans. We've done stories about more than one woman who's doing that. And why doesn't a person have the right to do that on their own time, and it doesn't interfere or get in the way with her volunteering with her son's public school?
Exactly. And if see, an argument could be made that maybe her having OnlyFans was causing a distraction, but once again, I don't see how. It's not like she was bringing her OnlyFans content to the school and showing people the pictures on her phone or stuff like that. It's not like she performed the stuff she does on OnlyFans at the school. Like, the two are completely separate. And another case can be made. Let's say they don't want her volunteering at her son's school.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlind. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
I always want to get your take on the Big O. Florida mother says school won't let her volunteer because she's on OnlyFans. And she's suing the school district for $1
million. $1
million. A mother in Florida is suing the Orange County Public School District for $1 million in damages after she says she was banned from volunteering because she has an OnlyFans page. And OnlyFans is where mostly women, there might be some men, but it's where mostly women go online and they get naked, and guys pay them. People pay them money to see them naked online. She's a 30-year-old mother of two. Her name is Victoria Trice. And she says, I would say that it's nobody's position to judge what anybody does in their private life. She said she started her career creating adult content online 2.5 years ago by creating a page on the website OnlyFans. She uploaded sexually explicit content for anyone who subscribes to her OnlyFans page by paying her $12.99 a month.
That's reasonable. That's fairly reasonable.
What, for OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah. They can range up to like $29.99 a month. Please.
She says, if I'm not hurting anybody and I'm not affecting anybody's day, then it's somebody's choice to do something that's fully legal. She and her attorney claim her online adult career is the reason the principal of her son's school informed her she'd no longer be able to participate in the school district's volunteer program. So she was volunteering at her son's public school.
Yeah, I'm foggy about that because I don't have kids, so clearly I don't have kids that go to school. But when they say she was volunteering, what did she volunteer to do? Did she volunteer to give out lunch? Did she volunteer to do homework? Was she a volunteer tutor? Did she volunteer at gym class? Like, what does a volunteer actually do?
That doesn't matter what...
No, just out of curiosity, because that might affect what area she's in at the school. Like, is she helping out the volunteer?
She was volunteering, giving her time for free to help out her son's public school. It doesn't
for whatever reason. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, schools are looking for volunteers to do different stuff a lot.
But then the second question is, how did they discover that she had an OnlyFans?
Well, that's the big question.
Yeah.
You would think someone who's associated with that school probably on OnlyFans and perhaps saw her. I don't know.
Then it's the who snitched after that. So you had the discovery, then you had the snitch.
She says, it doesn't validate. Like, it's not my whole life. That's a part of my life, but it's not my life of being a mom or being a parent. She thinks it's important to volunteer for school activities involving her two sons.
I agree with that.
Sure it is.
Parents should be involved in what their kids are doing at school.
Well, because her school district said they don't want her volunteering anymore. She's not allowed to volunteer anymore because she has an OnlyFans page. Her and her attorney sent a letter to the school district demanding it pays $1 million in damages and she be reinstated as a classroom volunteer.
She was a classroom. All right. I know. All right. I get it now. She was a classroom volunteer.
Well, she wants $1 million and she wants to continue to volunteer.
I would love to see how the school worded it saying that she couldn't volunteer anymore. Like, I remember we talked about this maybe a month ago about a similar situation and you said, I want to see what they actually put in writing to stop this parent from doing whatever this parent has to do. I would like to see the school's actual ruling, the way they word it sentence by sentence of why this parent cannot volunteer just because she has OnlyFans. Like, what is the actual reason?
I know her volunteering at her son's school is one thing. Her doing OnlyFans is another thing. She doesn't combine the two. She said, my mother did it for me, and having her there was the best joy growing up, just getting to have a parent see you at school and encourage you to want to be at school. And the Orange County Public Schools there in Florida were asked to comment on this, but they said they don't comment on potential pending or ongoing litigation.
Okay. Do you think it's also kind of brazen to believe that a school that needs volunteers just has $1 million?
Well, Coleman, they had to pick a number.
I mean, that's a good number to pick.
And that's the number her and her lawyer picked. But I don't understand if volunteering at school has nothing to do with her OnlyFans. She's not getting naked at her son's public school. She's volunteering with her clothes on. I don't understand why they wouldn't let her continue to volunteer. I, you know, especially now, we've seen a bunch of women leave their jobs and make more money doing OnlyFans. We've done stories about more than one woman who's doing that. And why doesn't a person have the right to do that on their own time and it doesn't interfere or get in the way with her volunteering with her son's public school?
Exactly. And if, see, an argument could be made that maybe her having OnlyFans was causing a distraction. But once again, I don't see how. It's not like she was bringing her OnlyFans content to the school and showing people the pictures on her phone and stuff like that. It's not like she performed the stuff she does on OnlyFans at the school. Like, the two are completely separate. And another case can be made. Let's say they don't want her volunteering at her son's school, but now all of a sudden her sons are lagging behind because she's not there to support them like she used to, and their grades start slipping or they start misbehaving. An argument can be made, look, my sons are slipping because you won't allow me to volunteer at the school anymore, and now they're not performing the way they would had I been there volunteering for my sons. The education of the sons should be the number one priority, not what she does in her personal life.
Look, I understand how schools have rules, but saying our students' parents can't volunteer because they're on OnlyFans? Look, Coleman and I have talked about this before. I'm looking into ways to make money on OnlyFans. I have a friend who's a dwarf, and I contacted my friend to see, because I understand that there are some people that are interested in that. My friend who's a dwarf didn't want to, although they're kind of hurting for cash right now. And I said, look, let's get you on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. I think there may be enough people out there that would like to see you.
That is where Mardi Gras mask. You know, you don't have to put your face on OnlyFans. People just go there for your body.
If you're listening right now, do you think that this mother has a legitimate lawsuit here, because all she wants to do is volunteer at her son's school? But now they're not letting her volunteer because she has an OnlyFans page. Do you think that that's right? Again, she's a volunteer. The school isn't paying her anything. And you would think most schools would want as many parents to volunteer as they could possibly get. And I would like to know exactly how they found out she had an OnlyFans page. Who at that school who's dealing with all kinds of children is on OnlyFans just looking and paying? Would you have a problem if a mother of a child in your child's school was volunteering, but she happened to have an OnlyFans page? Or would you agree with the school? Would you want her out? I think she's getting hosed. Text us at 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we will read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. What do you think about the Florida mom who is suing her son's school district because they won't let her volunteer anymore because she has an OnlyFans page? Your texts on that are coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. A donkey that had been running loose in Rhode Island for 4 months has been captured. The owner thanked animal control officers, saying they saved his ass. Coming up next, your texts on the Florida mother who is suing her son's school district because they told her to stop volunteering there because she has an OnlyFans page. And she's not happy about that. Your texts on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about a Florida mom who is suing her son's school district for $1 million because they told her they don't want her to volunteer there anymore because they found out she has an OnlyFans page where people pay her $12.99 a month to see her naked.
Which is fairly reasonable by OnlyFans standards.
And so she's 30 years old. Her name is Victoria Trice. She has two sons that go to the school in Orange County, Florida. And she volunteered there for a while, which is great. Isn't it great when parents volunteer at their children's public schools? But somebody at that school found out she has an OnlyFans page, and I'd like to know who that is and how they found out. And because of that, Orange County Public School District told her, we don't want you volunteering anymore. So now she's suing for $1 million. I'm not a fan of lawsuits, but I think she has something here. Because the two are completely different. They're separate. She's not getting naked while she's volunteering at her son's school. And I don't see the problem. If she's a good volunteer, who cares what she does in her, if she's on OnlyFans, making some extra money on the side. I ask you to text us and tell us what you think of this.
This first text says, how do you get fired from a volunteer job?
It's a great question. I mean, they're not paying you. I mentioned that when we first were talking about it. And they don't want you anymore?
This text says, women think there are no consequences for getting naked online. But there shouldn't be, though, right? Not in this instance. Yeah, there are consequences for being a sex worker. Those consequences come from people that are very judgmental.
Yeah, and I've had it with people looking down on sex workers. This woman is a sex worker. People just see her. They don't touch her. But she's doing what she has to help feed her children, keep clothes on their back, and keep a roof over their head.
Yeah, she's taking her clothes off so her kids can have clothes on.
That's right.
Maggie says, who are they to judge? If that's how she makes money and take care of her kids, good for her. It's a flexible job, and she can spend time with the kids, which a regular 9-to-5 job doesn't allow.
You're right on, Maggie. I agree with you.
This text says, depending on what she was volunteering for, I would be a little leery to have someone that gets naked for money helping my kids.
I don't know exactly what she did as a volunteer at the public school. It said she's a classroom volunteer. I don't know what that is, but again, I don't see what one has to do with the other.
Yeah, what's the actual fear? It's, like you said, she's not getting naked for money at the school, and it's not like the kids have the money to give her so she can get naked at the school. Plus, I don't think she's a pedophile. It's not like she's going around molesting the kids or anything like that. She's not doing nothing to the kids that is harmful. If anything, the worst that is happening is she's in the rumor mill and a gossip mill with the other volunteers. If anything, she has to be careful because other parents, especially men, might come harass her. She's more at risk than her. She's more at risk from adult volunteers than she's being at risk to the actual kids. Because unless your kids has a credit card, they can't sign up for an OnlyFans account. They don't have the money to get her naked. And plus, she probably wouldn't do it anyway because she's an adult and the kids are kids.
She's good looking, too. she's an attractive woman. And I've had it with you know, women who are trying to make a few extra bucks. I've had it with them being looked down upon like this, being downgraded like this. What all she's trying to do is make a few extra bucks.
Alicia says people need to learn how to mind their damn business. I hope the mom gets more than a million.
Right on, Alicia.
This text says Sasha Gray tried to donate books to schools, but they wouldn't take them because she was a porn actress. Now see, stuff like that is unfortunate. Here's this woman who's trying to actually do something beneficial for children, give them books and maybe some school supplies, but they won't take it from her because she's a porn actress. Like, the kids reading a book given to them by a porn actress is going to taint the education that's inside the book for some reason. Like, the value of the book is diminished because if somebody gave you an encyclopedia, oh, but I got it from a porn actress, therefore I can't learn from it, that's dumb.
Coleman, are you familiar with Sasha Gray's work?
I don't know. Maybe I am. I have to see you to figure it out. I'll do some research during the break. All right. My new best friend, John Luna, says, I had a friend whose mom was a stripper, and the parents loved her around. Different times, I guess. But imagine that. Imagine somebody having a cure for cancer, but you don't want the cure for cancer because you find out that the person who has the cure for cancer has an OnlyFans account. Like, we can't take this cure because you get naked on OnlyFans. But they could cure cancer. That's how dumb this is to me. This text says, I think what she does in her free times is no one's business, but I feel the school is allowed to say who that she can't volunteer simply not to bring attention to sexual content.
I want the Orange County Public School District in Florida, where this is happening, I want them to tell us how they found out this mother of two of their students has an OnlyFans page. I want them to tell me and tell the world how they found that out. Which member of the Orange County Public School District in Florida was on OnlyFans and found this out?
All right, last one I can squeeze in. Edwin Edwards says she's definitely getting free publicity. Front page press. No matter how you got there.
Well, you know, with this publicity she's getting, because this story is going big, and you got people like us talking about it, maybe she'll see a lot more $12.99 monthly subscriptions to her OnlyFans page. But she wants to volunteer. They don't even pay her. And they said no because you're on OnlyFans. Really? Yeah, again, I've had it with women who are trying to make a life for themselves, who are trying to make some money. I've had it with them being shunned by society.
Like, this one just came in. It's about respecting yourself. How is that disrespectful? I don't see how she's disrespecting herself because she's found her niche and she found what she's good at and she's providing for her kids and she wants to help her kids by volunteering. There's literally nothing disrespectful about that.
No, people just look at her. Nobody touches her. Hell, Coleman and I have said it. If we could make $12.99 a month on OnlyFans, we would. Thank you for your texts. We always appreciate them. Coming up next, I've got a pretty cool list. A list of things that Generation Z is trends by millennials that Generation Z is trying to end. I like that. That's coming up next. I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. So I'm Generation X. Coleman, would you be a millennial?
I'm right there on the cusp. I'm somewhere in between. I don't consider myself a millennial, but I don't know. I'm like right in between a millennial and whatever was before a millennial.
Well, because millennials are after Generation X, right?
Yeah, I'm on the cusp.
And then after millennials is Generation Z. And Generation Z is sharing trends by millennials that they plan to end. So you've got Generation Z looking up at millennials saying, I don't like these trends that you have, and we're out to end them.
Okay, it sounds like every generation ever.
Sure, you look at the generation above you and you say, boy, this is what you got wrong. and we're gonna fix that.
All right.
Here is that list. Weird and or drawn on eyebrows. I guess that's a millennial trend that Generation Z wants to end.
I can't say that because they've been drawn on eyebrows ever since ancient Egypt. If you ever look at the pharaohs and the stuff in Queen, like Cleopatra, they all had drawn on eyebrows. So I can't say that's a millennial thing.
Well, Generation Z has had it with that. Expensive hipster food like avocado toast.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. All that pumpkin spice craziness.
Cable television.
Now I feel old.
Well, I mean, when you look at streaming and how much less expensive it is than cable television, you could see where Generation Z is coming from.
No, it goes beyond that. I know people in their 20s that don't even own televisions because they'd rather watch whatever streaming on their phones. Like, it's bad enough not to have cable. They don't even have televisions in their rooms. They don't want a television in their room. They would rather watch everything from their phone.
Mm.
That's weird. Like, how could you not watch Avengers Endgame on a 65-inch TV, but you watch it on a 6-inch portable device?
But think about it. If you're Generation Z, your whole life you've had...
Right.
A cell phone in your hand.
So I'm going to have to go with that one. I don't agree with that.
Here's something else that Generation Z, another trend by millennials that they want to end. The man bun hairstyle.
I completely agree with that.
Generation Z is pretty cool.
So far. I know they're going to do something, though, because they're still a younger generation. They're going to have that one in there that's completely ridiculous.
Lip injections.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, you see some of these women, look at the Kardashians. I mean, one day you see them, they have no lips. And then the next day you see a picture of them, and they got their lips are huge.
Now, one thing I could say about Gen Z is they are very body positive. They don't care what bag you come in as long as you have a good personality. I will say that about them. They're not really concerned about big asses and big lips and big breasts. They're more like, how are you on the inside?
Drinking IPA beer.
Now, see, now we got to fight.
See, Generation
Z. I knew that was going to hit me with one. I got to have my Lagunitas. I got to have my Rod Iron. I love my IPAs.
Yeah, you're a big IPA fan?
I love them.
Yeah, I'm not a beer snob. I'm very happy with my Miller Lite or my Yingling or my Bud Light. That's fine with me.
So I would halfway agree with Gen Z if they also get rid of White Claw and these seltzer beers coming out.
Another trend by millennials that Generation Z plans to end. Choosing a financially stable job over their dream job, then regretting it.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
So they would rather throw away their dreams just to be financially stable?
No, the other way around.
Oh, okay, good.
They're the other way around.
All right, great.
The millennials are the ones that choose the financially stable job, and then they choose that over their dream job, and then they regret it. That's what they're saying.
Cool, all right. Well, they're batting 600.
The whole I've been doing this longer than you vibe that millennials carry.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
And Generation Z is all right. It's the millennials. They're the ones that you look at funny, right? The bad relationship millennials have with other generations, including their own Generation Z, including baby boomers.
I don't think Gen Z has that much charisma to do that. Because here's what's going to happen. Gen Z is going to grow up, and the generation that precedes them, they're not going to like them. Gen Z is going to look down on them, and they're going to look up and say, you know what? I don't like what Gen Z is doing, and they're going to start bumping heads. It's easy for Gen Z to say what they're going to do now because they're still up and coming.
And finally, I think this is the coolest. The last trend by millennials that Generation Z plans to end. Cancel culture. I think that's cool. Woo! You know, I think comedians and social commentators, social satirists, I think they have to be able to say what they want to say. And you know what? We need to be in a place that we used to be in. If some people didn't like it, so what?
But isn't it kind of hypocritical to say that Gen Z is canceling cancel culture by canceling what millennials are doing?
No, they're trying to end that
trend.
That's
what canceling means. They're trying to end stuff about millennials, so they're kind of like canceling themselves. I don't know. It's like a weird double thing going on. This text says, Generation Z can't even start a lawnmower, let alone change anything.
Well, at least they're letting you know what they want to do.
But look, Gen Z, by the time they start mowing the lawn, they wouldn't need to start it. They have like the technology where they can cut the grass from an app. They can, you know how they got the drones, they can fly with the cell phones. I wouldn't be surprised if they can put an app on a lawnmower and they do it like a room where they can control the lawnmower from inside their house with an app. And don't even have to go outside to start the lawnmower. They already got the automatic push start cars.
Yeah, well, I hopefully Generation Z will at least get that last one, because,
and they could bring back some stuff too, like, you know, grunge, real hip hop, awesome television shows and movies.
But that stuff's in our past.
I know.
You can't be repeating stuff that's already been done.
No, you can, just with better technology, like this new Indiana Jones movie coming out. You know, you have an old great idea, and then you mix it with modern technology. Imagine with all the technology we have right now, how 80s and 90s music was sounded. They produced it today with all the special effects and stuff, and the concerts, laser shows that they can have now if they start going back to their roots.
Well, I thought that, you know, all generations, it'd be nice if everybody got along with each other, but... I like the way Generation Z is thinking there when it comes to the trends by millennials that they'd like to end.
Yeah, but hand me a beer over a White Claw any day.
Hey, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And coming up next, something very popular from a television show is going on the auction block. Stay tuned for those reports next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So, something that was immense on television is going up for auction next month. Henry Winkler, the actor who played Fonzie on Happy Days on that television show, he's auctioning off a Fonzie leather jacket. Evidently, there were six of them made. One of them got stolen in 1980 from the Paramount television lot, where that's the studio where they filmed the show Happy Days. And Henry Winkler had two of them. Gary Marshall, who created the show, had two of them. And then one of them had the lining ripped out of it. So there were only six leather jackets ever made for Fonzie on Happy Days.
I'm impressed that they were made instead of just going somewhere and buying a leather jacket for the character.
Well, and he's putting one up for, it's going to go on auction December 8th in Los Angeles. Henry Winkler is now 76 years old. Can you believe that? The Fonz is 76. And they are hoping that the jacket will be auctioned off alongside of a Fonzie pair of jeans that he wore on the TV show, a t-shirt, a white t-shirt that he wore on the show, and motorcycle boots that he wore on the show. So a whole Fonzie outfit with the leather jacket. They're saying it's going to get, they think it's going to get in between $50,000 and $70,000.
Cha-ching!
Man, if that's just for the outfit, imagine if somebody had the water skis that Fonzie jumped the shark on and how much that would be worth.
Well, evidently, Coleman, the leather jacket that had the lining ripped out of it was the one he wore on that episode when he jumped the shark.
That's cool.
So maybe the leather jacket jumped the shark with him. But that's pretty cool. Again, that's going to be December 8th in Los Angeles. And a bunch of that money that they raise is going to go to charity. And that's cool. You know, Happy Day, that was big back in the 70s. That was really big. I mean, that was before cable television when there was only five channels on everybody's TV set. And Happy Days was watched by a lot of people. And so it'll be interesting to see how much they get for the Fonzie outfit. Pay attention to that. Coming up next, got the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Shoot the thrill. Too many women, too many pills. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida Teacher of the Year arrested for hitting student who criticized award.
Hiya!
High school English teacher Caroline Lee, who was 60 years old, was proudly hailed as Teacher of the Year by the Duval County Public Schools last Wednesday.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, on Friday, she hit a female student in the face and kicked her in the leg. And now she won't be teaching.
Hiya!
Evidently, after this award was announced last week, Coleman, one of her students went on Instagram and criticized the award, criticized the teacher. The teacher saw that on Instagram, so the teacher then said to the student, I want to see you in my office. The student was terrified, didn't go into her office. The teacher went into a classroom where the student was and said, excuse me, you need to come out here. And all the other students went, ooh. So the student goes out. They walk down the hall. They go into an empty room, shut the door. And that's where the teacher punched her in the face and kicked her in the shin. All because she criticized her and the award she won, Teacher of the Year, 2 days earlier.
I mean, other than that, how was the student's grades?
It doesn't say here in the story how the student is doing academically.
Oh, okay. Because that would be the real test whether or not she deserved Teacher of the Year. If all of us students, you know, had great GPAs, had some good, you know, SAT scores or whatnot. Not the ass whipping, right?
Yeah, well, the teacher has been removed from the classroom and will not return pending the judicial and internal procedures.
I'm not trying to justify what the teacher did, but isn't it kind of a bitch move when you have a problem with somebody and you, instead of facing the problem head on and confront the person, you go on social media and bitch? Like, I always felt weird about that. Like, if you're going to say something, say it to my face. Don't go tell everybody else except me, right?
Yeah, well, the teacher admitted being in the classroom but denied hitting the girl, but she could not explain the girl's bloody nose.
Ah. To say she's 60 years old, she's able to give somebody a bloody nose. She might be a little bit more powerful.
But think about that for a minute. On Wednesday, the county where you work in gives you Teacher of the Year. You get that award. And then on Friday, you're arrested because you punched a female student who criticized you and that award on Instagram, saying that she didn't think you should have won that award.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. But once again, how the student's grades, right? If the student's grades are good, maybe she does deserve the reward. I'm sorry.
But what's incredible about this is that the Teacher of the Year did something so dumb that it was the dumbest thing I read all day. I mean, I imagine you're the Teacher of the Year, and now you're on the dumbest thing I read all day on a radio show. Teacher of the Year! Well, anyways, the Florida Teacher of the Year, who was arrested for beating one of her female students who criticized the award and criticized her.
Paya!
2 days after she won the award. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. On Bayou 95.7. Boy, Florida is some state, huh? New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. So I'm Generation X. Coleman, would you be a millennial?
I'm right there on the cusp. I'm somewhere in between. I don't consider myself a millennial, but I don't know. I'm like right in between a millennial and whatever was before a millennial.
Well, because millennials are after Generation X, right?
Yeah, I'm on the cusp.
And then after millennials is Generation Z. And Generation Z is sharing trends by millennials that they plan to end. So you've got Generation Z looking up at millennials saying, I don't like these trends that you have, and we're out to end them.
Okay, it sounds like every generation ever.
Sure, you look at the generation above you and you say, boy, this is what you got wrong. And we're gonna fix that.
All right.
Here is that list. Weird and or drawn on eyebrows. I guess that's a millennial trend that Generation Z wants to end.
I can't say that because they've been drawn on eyebrows ever since ancient Egypt. If you ever look at the pharaohs and the stuff in Queen, like Cleopatra, they all had drawn on eyebrows. So I can't say that's a millennial thing.
Well, Generation Z has had it with that. Expensive hipster food like avocado toast.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. All that pumpkin spice craziness.
Cable television.
Now I feel old.
Well, I mean, when you look at streaming and how much less expensive it is than cable television, you could see where Generation Z is coming from.
No, it goes beyond that. I know people in their 20s that don't even own televisions because they'd rather watch whatever streaming on their phones. Like, it's bad enough not to have cable. They don't even have televisions in their rooms. They don't want a television in their room. They would rather watch everything from their phone.
Mm.
That's weird. Like, how could you not watch Avengers Endgame on a 65-inch TV, but you watch it on a 6-inch portable device?
But think about it. If you're Generation Z, your whole life you've had
Right.
A cell phone in your hand.
So I'm going to have to go with that one. I don't agree with that.
Here's something else that Generation Z, another trend by millennials that they want to end. The man bun hairstyle.
I completely agree with that.
Generation Z is pretty cool.
So far, I know they're going to do something, though, because they're still a younger generation. They're going to have that one in there that's completely ridiculous.
Lip injections.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, you see some of these women, look at the Kardashians. I mean, one day you see them, they have no lips. And then the next day you see a picture of them, and they got their lips are huge.
Now, one thing I could say about Gen Z is they are very body positive. They don't care what bag you come in as long as you have a good personality. I will say that about them. They're not really concerned about big asses and big lips and big breasts. They're more like, how are you on the inside?
Drinking IPA beer.
Now, see, now we got to fight.
See, Generation
Z. I knew they was going to hit me with one. I got to have my Lagunitas. I got to have my Rod Iron. I love my IPAs.
Yeah, you're a big IPA fan?
I love them.
Yeah, I'm not a beer snob. I'm very happy with my Miller Lite or my Yingling or my Bud Light. That's fine with me.
So, I would halfway agree with Gen Z if they also get rid of White Claw and these seltzer beers coming out.
Another trend by millennials that Generation Z plans to end. Choosing a financially stable job over their dream job, then regretting it. That's interesting.
So they would rather throw away their dreams just to be financially stable?
No, the other way around.
Oh, okay, good.
They're the other way around.
All right, great.
The millennials are the ones that choose the financially stable job, and then they choose that over their dream job, and then they regret it. That's what they're saying.
Cool. All right. Well, they're batting 600.
The whole "I've been doing this longer than you" vibe that millennials carry.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
And Generation Z is all right. It's the millennials. They're the ones that you look at funny, right? The bad relationship millennials have with other generations, including their own Generation Z, including baby boomers.
I don't think Gen Z has that much charisma to do that. Because here's what's going to happen. Gen Z is going to grow up, and the generation that precedes them, they're not going to like them. Gen Z is going to look down on them, and they're going to look up and say, you know what? I don't like what Gen Z is doing, and they're going to start bumping heads. It's easy for Gen Z to say what they're going to do now because they're still up and coming.
And finally, I think this is the coolest. The last trend by millennials that Generation Z plans to end, cancel culture. I think that's cool. Woo! You know, I think comedians and social commentators, social satirists, I think they have to be able to say what they want to say. And you know what? We need to be in a place that we used to be in. If some people didn't like it, so what?
But isn't it kind of hypocritical to say that Gen Z is canceling cancel culture by canceling what millennials are doing?
No, they're trying to end that
trend.
That's
what canceling means. They're trying to end stuff about millennials, so they're kind of like canceling themselves. I don't know. It's like a weird double thing going on. This text says, Generation Z can't even start a lawnmower, let alone change anything.
Well, at least they're letting you know what they want to do.
But look, Gen Z, by the time they start mowing the lawn, they wouldn't need to start it. They have like the technology where they can cut the grass from an app. They can, you know how they got the drones, they can fly with the cell phones. I wouldn't be surprised if they can put an app on a lawnmower and they do it like a room where they can control the lawnmower from inside their house with an app. And don't even have to go outside to start the lawnmower. They already got the automatic push start cars.
Yeah, well, I hopefully Generation Z will at least get that last one, because
And they could bring back some stuff, too. Like, you know, grunge, real hip-hop, awesome television shows and movies.
But that stuff's in our past.
I know.
You can't be repeating stuff that's already been done.
No, you can, just with better technology. Just like this new Indiana Jones movie coming out. You know, you have an old great idea, and then you mix it with modern technology. Imagine with all the technology we have right now, how 80s and 90s music was sounded. They produced it today with all the special effects and stuff, and the concerts, laser shows that they can have now if they start going back to their roots.
Well, I thought that, all generations, it'd be nice if everybody got along with each other, but I like the way Generation Z is thinking there when it comes to the trends by millennials that they'd like to end.
Yeah, but hand me a beer over a White Claw any day.
Hey, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And coming up next, something very popular from a television show is going on the auction block. Stay tuned for those reports next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So, something that was immense on television is going up for auction next month. Henry Winkler, the actor who played Fonzie on Happy Days on that television show, he's auctioning off a Fonzie leather jacket. Evidently, there were six of them made. One of them got stolen in 1980 from the Paramount television lot, where that's the studio where they filmed the show Happy Days. And Henry Winkler had two of them. Gary Marshall, who created the show, had two of them. And then one of them had the lining ripped out of it. So there were only six leather jackets ever made for Fonzie on Happy Days.
I'm impressed that they were made instead of just going somewhere and buying a leather jacket for the character.
Well, and he's putting one up for, it's going to go on auction December 8th. In Los Angeles. Henry Winkler is now 76 years old. Can you believe that? The Fonz is 76. And they are hoping that the jacket will be auctioned off alongside of a Fonzie pair of jeans that he wore on the TV show, a t-shirt, a white t-shirt that he wore on the show, and motorcycle boots that he wore on the show. So a whole Fonzie outfit with the leather jacket, they're saying they think it's going to get in between $50,000 and $70,000.
Cha-ching!
Man, if that's just for the outfit, imagine if somebody had the water skis that Fonzie jumped the shark on and how much that would be worth.
Well, evidently, Coleman, the leather jacket that had the lining ripped out of it was the one he wore on that episode when he jumped the shark.
Hmm, that's cool.
So maybe the leather jacket jumped the shark with him. But that's pretty cool. Again, that's going to be December 8th in Los Angeles. And a bunch of that money that they raised is going to go to charity. And that's cool. You know, Happy Day, that was big back in the 70s. That was really big. I mean, that was before cable television, when there was only five channels on everybody's TV set. And Happy Days was watched by a lot of people. And so it'll be interesting to see how much they get for the Fonzie outfit. Pay attention to that. Coming up next, got the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Shoot the thrill. Too many women, too many pills. You're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida Teacher of the Year arrested for hitting student who criticized award.
Paya!
High school English teacher Caroline Lee, who was 60 years old, was proudly hailed as Teacher of the Year by the Duval County Public Schools last Wednesday.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, on Friday, she hit a female student in the face and kicked her in the leg. And now she won't be teaching.
Paya!
Evidently, after this award was announced last week, Coleman, one of her students went on Instagram and criticized the award, criticized the teacher. The teacher saw that on Instagram, so the teacher then said to the student, I want to see you in my office. The student was terrified, didn't go into her office. The teacher went into a classroom where the student was and said, excuse me, you need to come out here. And all the other students went, ooh. So the student goes out. They walk down the hall. They go into an empty room, shut the door. And that's where the teacher punched her in the face and kicked her in the shin. All because she criticized her and the award she won, Teacher of the Year, 2 days earlier.
I mean, other than that, how was the student's grades?
It doesn't say here in the story how the student is doing academically.
Okay. Because that would be the real test whether or not she deserved Teacher of the Year. If all of us students, you know, had great GPAs, had some good, you know, SAT scores or whatnot. Not the ass whipping, right?
Yeah, well, the teacher has been removed from the classroom and will not return pending the judicial and internal procedures.
I'm not trying to justify what the teacher did, but isn't it kind of a bitch move when you have a problem with somebody and you, instead of facing the problem head on and confront the person, you go on social media and bitch? Like, I always felt weird about that. Like, if you're going to say something, say it to my face. Don't go tell everybody else except me, right?
Yeah, well, the teacher admitted being in the classroom but denied hitting the girl, but she could not explain the girl's bloody nose.
Ah. To say she's 60 years old, she's able to give somebody a bloody nose. She might be a little bit more powerful.
But think about that for a minute. On Wednesday, the county where you work in gives you Teacher of the Year. You get that award. And then on Friday, you're arrested because you punched a female student who criticized you and that award on Instagram, saying that she didn't think you should have won that award.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. But once again, how the students' grades, right? If the student's grades are good, maybe she does deserve the reward. I'm sorry.
But what's incredible about this is that the Teacher of the Year did something so dumb that it was the dumbest thing I read all day. I mean, I imagine you're the Teacher of the Year, and now you're on the dumbest thing I read all day on a radio show. Teacher of the Year! Well, anyways, the Florida Teacher of the Year, who was arrested for beating one of her female students who criticized the award and criticized her.
Paya!
2 days after she won the award. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Dum, da, dum, 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 dum. on Bayou 95.7. Boy, Florida is some state, huh? New Orleans only classic rock station.